Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that have joined us in the room on this beautiful Sabbath, April 22nd, 2017. This is lesson 227, chapter 49, entitled At the Feast of Tabernacles. We will be discussing part 2. Our opening song is a scripture song from the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verses 1 through 4 from the King James Version. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, O ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And for memory verses, get one. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are joining us. If any one of the little ones, mommies and daddy, would like to open with prayer, bubble up.
Could we all kneel and bow our heads to the Godhead? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy most precious and holy name. Thank you for giving us another rest day, Lord. Thank you for gathering us together as brethren, Lord, to be able to hear your words, Lord, and let it be that we could carry it, Lord, and let it be rest in our mind, our heart, and in our soul, Lord, I pray. Bless the speaker, Lord. Thank her for everything that she has given us through the children's story, Lord, I pray. Help us all. Forgive me for my iniquities, my sin, and my transgression. Help us, Lord, in all that I do. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Welcome to all the dear ones that are joining us. The opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2. And it reads, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. This Sabbath, boys and girls, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson entitled At the Feast of Tabernacles in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the following verses, blah, blah, blah.
Father, bless you again, everyone. Isaiah 12:3. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he became my salvation. He's my God, and I will prepare him an inhabitation. My Father, God, will I exalt him. Amen.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. John chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Drury, because the Jews sought to kill him. John chapter 7, verse 2. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles were at hand. Amen.
John 7, 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart, that thy disciples also may see the work that thou doest. John 7:4. For there is no man that doeth any thing in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world.
I am that bread of life. John chapter 6, verse 48.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And that the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. John chapter 6, verse 51.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. Today we will cover pages 449 through 451. Welcome once more to all our dear brethren coming in. We are in Desire of Ages, page 448. Bubba.
Desire of Ages, page 448. He bore the flagon to the altar, which occupied a central position in the court of the priest. Here were two silver basins with a priest standing at each one. The flagon of water was poured into one and a flagon of wine into the other, and the contents of both flowed into a pipe which communicated with the Kedron and was conducted to the Dead Sea. Next slide, please.
The display of the
consecrated
water represented the fountain that at the command of God had gushed from the rock to quench the thirst of the children of Israel. Then the jubilant strains rang forth, The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah 12:2-3.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies. What did the display of the consecrated water represent? And what did the jubilant streams which ran forth state? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
This display represented the
fountain
that at the
command
of God had
gushed
from the
rock
to
quench
the
thirst
of the children of Israel.
Good.
And the Lord
Jehovah
is my strength and my song.
Song. Therefore
with joy shall ye draw water out of the
wells
of
salvation. Good job. So let's learn our first beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12, verse 2.
Trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Isaiah 12 verse 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us continue in our study. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are in.
As the sons of Joseph made preparation to attend the Feast of Tabernacles, they saw that Christ made no movement signifying his intention of attending. They watched him with anxiety. Since the healing of Bethesda, he had not attended the national gatherings. To avoid useless conflict with the leaders at Jerusalem, he had restricted his labors to Galilee. And continuing on the next slide, please.
Amen. Question, boys and girls.
What did the sons of Joseph see in Christ as they made preparation to attend the Feast of Tabernacle? And why were they washing, with anxiety? And what did he do to avoid useless conflict with the leaders at Jerusalem? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
The answer is they saw that Christ made no movement signifying his intention of attending. And since the healing at Bethesda, he had not attended the national gatherings. He had restricted his labors to Galilee. Desire of Ages, page 150, continuing. His apparent neglect of the religious assembly and the enmity manifested toward him by the priests and rabbis were a cause of perplexity to the people about him, even to his own disciples and his kindred. In his teachings, he had dwelt upon the blessings of obedience to the law of God, and yet he himself seemed to be indifferent to the service which had been divinely established. His mingling with publicans and others of ill repute, his disregard of the rabbinical observances. And next slide, please.
Amen. Question, boys and girls, what were causes of perplexity to the people about him and even to his own disciple and his kindred? And why did Jesus' brothers think it a mistake for him to alienate the great and learned men of the nation? If you know the answer, dear ones, bubble up.
His apparent neglect of the great religious assemblies and the enmity manifested towards him by the priests and rabbis. And they felt that these men must be in the right, and that Jesus was at fault in placing himself in antagonism to them.
Continuing. And the freedom with which he set aside the traditional requirements concerning the Sabbath, all seeming to place him in an antagonism to the religious authorities, excited much questioning. His brothers thought it a mistake for him to alienate the great and learned men of the nation. They felt that these men must be in the right and that Jesus was at fault in placing himself in antagonism to them. Continuing on the next slide. But they had witnessed his blameless life. And though they did not rank themselves with his disciples, they had been deeply impressed by his works. His popularity in Galilee was gratifying to their ambition. They still hoped that he would give an evidence of his power, which will lead the Pharisees to see that he was what he claimed to be. What if he were the Messiah, the Prince of Israel? They cherished this thought with proud satisfaction. The Desire of Ages, page 450, paragraph 1. Amen. Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls. What had they witnessed and had been deeply impressed by Jesus, though they did not rank themselves with his disciple? And what did they still hope that Jesus will give? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah, blah.
They had witnessed his blameless life. They had been deeply impressed by his works. His popularity in Galilee was gratifying to their ambition. And they still hoped that he would give an evidence of his power, which would lead the Pharisees to see that he was what he claimed to be.
Daniel, so anxious were they about this, that they urged Christ to go to Jerusalem. Depart hence, they said, and go to Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret. And he himself speaketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, then show thyself to the world. If express doubt and unbelief, the obtrude
they
attributed cowardness and weakness to him.
Desire of Ages, page 450. If he knew that he was the Messiah, why this strange reserve and inaction? If he really possessed such power, why not go boldly to Jerusalem and assert his claims? Why not perform in Jerusalem the wonderful works reported of him in Galilee? Do not hide the secluded provinces, they said, and perform your mighty works for the benefit of ignorant peasants and fishermen. Present yourself at the capital, win the support of the priests and rulers, and unite the nations in establishing the new kingdom.
Amen. Good job, everyone. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, how anxious were they about this that they urged Christ to go to Jerusalem? And what did they say to Jesus that showed their attributed coward and weakness to him? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, blah, blah.
So anxious that they said, depart hence and go into Judea. So anxious that they said, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciple also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. If he really possess such power, why not go boldly to Jerusalem and assert his claims?
Desire of Ages, page 151. These brothers of Jesus reasoned from the selfish mind of those ambitious for display. This spirit was the ruling spirit of the world. They were offended because, instead of seeking a temple or throne, Christ had declared himself to be the bread of life. They were greatly disappointed when so many of his disciples forsook him. They themselves turned from him to escape the cross of acknowledging what his works reveal, that he was the Son of God.
Forgive us, dear one. Josh's computer is giving up. It's been a while he has it, so by God's grace. Question, boys and girls, mommies and daddy, what brought about the motives of these brothers of Jesus, and where is this spirit from, and why were they offended and greatly disappointed? If you know the answer to the question, dear ones, babala.
These brothers reason from selfish motives so often found in the hearts of those ambitious for display. This spirit was the ruling spirit of the world, and they were offended because instead of seeking a temporal throne, Christ has declared himself to be the bread of life. They were greatly disappointed when so many of his disciples forsook him.
Good job. So let's learn our last beautiful scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, boys and girls. As you know, it's story time. It's April 22nd of 2017. His principles are to be our principles. Now, what does that mean? It means that what Jesus lived and taught, we are to live and teach. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you, or done to you. John 13:15. In this age, the 21st century or 2017, we are pained or saddened to see that children and youth look upon themselves as too far advanced to submit themselves to the control of parents. Submitting to your mama's and daddy's control is good. They are trying to train you up to be beautiful flowers in the garden of God. Without this training, you would grow up to be useless weeds. They seem to imagine that to yield to parental authority or do what mama and daddy tell you to do would be an evidence of weakness, a sacrifice of their rightful independence. But instead of being capable of governing themselves, they are vacillating. That means they can't make up a good decision. And weak in purpose. The moral powers are feeble. You're unable to think well. And they have but little spiritual power. That is a desire to do good. The reason why they are thus weak and easily led away by temptation is that they do not imitate the life of Christ. Instead of following in the footsteps of Jesus, the divine Redeemer, they are filled with pride and self-esteem. They think only of themselves. They study inclination. They say, what do I want to do? Instead of saying to themselves, what does Jesus want me to do? They study inclination and follow the bent of their unconsecrated minds. Unconsecrated means they do not follow Jesus. In a moment, he, Christ, distinguished or recognized the difference between right and wrong and placed sin in the light of God's commandments. He said this temptation is against God's law, holding up the law as a mirror which reflects light upon wrong. Someone says, take something that doesn't belong to you, you can and should say, that doesn't belong to me, and according to God's law, it's stealing. It was this keen discrimination, Jesus easily recognized the difference, between right and wrong, that often provoked Christ's brothers to anger. They got angry every time Jesus said, I can't do that. Because God's law forbids it. Yet his appeals and entreaties, Jesus begged his brothers not to break God's law. Yet his appeals and entreaties and the sorrow expressed in his countenance or on his face revealed or showed such a tender, earnest love for them that they were ashamed of having tempted him to deviate or change from his strict sense of justice and loyalty. God will have a people zealous of good works. Zealous means you really want to obey. God will have a people zealous of good works standing firm amid the pollution or sins of this degenerate age or wicked time. There will be a people who hold so fast to the divine strength that they will be proof against every temptation. If you stay true to God, you will not be overcome by temptations to sin. Evil communications in flaming handbills may seek to speak to their senses and corrupt their minds. Handbills are like advertisements on the radio and TV that try to get us to do bad things sometimes. Yet they will be so united to God and angels that they will be able You know, it will be as those who see not and hear not.
Amen and praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. So next week, dear ones, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled At the Feast of Tabernacles in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any of the little ones, mummies and daddies, would like to have closing prayer, bubble up.
If we could all bow our heads and our hearts and our knees and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us yet another Sabbath day, dear Father God, where we may gather together to worship your name, dear Father God, in your kingdom. Thank you for bringing us safely through this week, dear Father God. And thank you for all the blessings that were wrought in our life, traveling mercies, healing of hearts, of spirits, of mind, dear Father God, things that only you are capable of doing, dear Father God, and doing it so wonderfully. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you please continue to have mercy upon us. Please heal all the little ones, dear Father God, from all the infirmities, whether great or small, dear Father. Please continue to guide and protect them and to be a light in their life, dear Father God. Please strengthen the parents and guide their mind and their hands and their hearts, dear Father God, to do according to your perfect will, so that we may bring up these little ones according to your law and your love. Please forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. Please, Lord, I also pray that you be with all the dear ones that are sick and afflicted, those that are shut in, those that are dealing with infirmities, whether spiritually, physically, emotionally, or whatever it is, dear Father God. Help each and every one of our burdened hearts to cry out to you, dear Father God, and to remember to come unto you in all things, because you will bear our burden if we will only truly give it to you and place it at your feet. And help us, Lord, to be patient and to be faithful in the small things as well as the bigger things. And to know, dear Father God, that whatever path you choose for us is the way that is right according to your perfect will. Not to question it in any way or form. Help us, dear Father God, to continue to hold on in faith, though we may not understand everything that we endure, but we know it's for a greater good. Please, dear Father God, be with each and every one of us that are here today. Please send your Holy Spirit to be among us. Please open up our hearts and in you, dear Father, be our eyes and our ears and our mind and our hearts, dear Father, so that we may receive your words, dear Father God, that they may be planted deep into our heart soil, dear Father God. And I pray that you and you alone nourish it and feed it and uplift it, dear Father God. We know that the devil is already a defeated foe. And thank you, dear Father God, for helping us to understand this and to recognize this, dear Father. Help us not to get weary. Please also be with the brethren that are not here for whatever reason, for the brethren that are listening over the phone, for the brethren that will be listening to the recording at a later time. Please bless them also, dear Father God. Continue to guide us and lead us according to your perfect will. These things I ask in your Son's name, Jesus, I pray, on your blessed Sabbath day.
In Jesus' name, amen. Stand in agreement with thee, dear sister. Continuing, dear ones. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we will continue with part 3 of our chapter 49 entitled At the Feast of Tabernacle. And that will be held by God's grace April 29, 2017. We would like to thank all the precious little readers and also the parents for participating in our study today. And we hope and pray that you may continue studying these precious gems to understand much better what Jesus had to do and how did Jesus handle conflict, and also how he never stopped from doing God's will regardless of what was going before him. May you have a blessed and a peaceful Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.